completed. The next matter before us is GHS, no, rather G4S Secure Solutions, Inc. versus McDonald. Mr. Priddy?
May it please the court, my name is Vernon Priddy. I'm here today on behalf of G4S Government Solutions in the case involving Brennis McDonald. This case presents two short but distinct issues.
One appears to be dispositive on its own, right?
Yes, sir. If the court accepts our position on either of the
Two would you say is the narrowest and best argument for your requested disposition?
I think that the narrowest and best argument I've got is the fall off the wall argument. As the court is probably familiar with the record, Ms. McDonald had been in a port-a-john. She came out of the port-a-john and apparently sat on what she described as a brick wall. She described it as being about the size in terms of depth of her bottom.
It's a Jersey wall, right?
Well, it got called a Jersey wall, but it's not crystal clear, Your Honor, from the record what the exact type of a wall was, but it was apparently a foot deep or so.
And it was about chair height?
And that's not crystal clear either, but it's certainly something that she's had sat on the wall before, and it's something that she apparently had done.
And you say it's not one because I think it had some brick kind of a facing lamination on it as opposed to being pure concrete.
That's the impression, that mm-hmm. That it has what looked like red bricks. And she described it as mobile, but with a very heavy piece of equipment to move it. And the length of it is not in the record. As I said, her bottom is apparently the measuring tool for the depth of the wall. According to the record, she had been sitting on the wall for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and I understood the facts is she went to the facilities, came out of the facilities, the area that she was assigned to work in was a very hot and musty kind of area, so she didn't really want to go right back in there on a hot day, sat on this Jersey wall, using it as a term of description as opposed to a term of legal significance, fell off the Jersey wall and injured herself.
Yes, sir.
And the question, as Judge Kelsey has pointed out, there was basis for us to decide in this case, is how this arises out of her employment circumstance, where it's apparent to the rational mind of consideration of all circumstances, a causal connection between the condition under which the work is required to be performed and the resulting injury. In this case, she wasn't doing anything associated with her job, was she?
No, sir.
She was simply sitting down, lost her balance, and hurt herself.
Yes, sir. And there is really nothing else. I mean, there are some facts around it, but there are no co-workers who testified. There's no nothing except that she sat on a wall that she'd sat on before and fell off of it. And the way she described it, it was almost cartoonish.
The struggle that I have in this case, and I want you, if you can, try to help me through this, is that typically when we're talking about questions of fact, we always, or typically, not always, typically defer to the determinations of the commission. And in this case, for whatever reason, they decided that this arose out of her employment. How are we able to overcome the standard of appellate review here?
Well, of course, the standard review on arising out of it's a mixed question of fact. And so what we've got, I mean, the court is bound by the findings of fact, namely that she sat on the wall.
And those facts are undisputed.
And they're undisputed. But what is not undisputed and what is not beyond the court's discretion to review and overturn is the finding that this arose out of the employment. And there's no factor tying her employment.
And another way of saying it is being a natural incident of the work being performed. When the commission made its determination, obviously being aware of the standard that they need to assess the evidence, what did they point to as the natural incident of work that justified this being determined to be arising out of her employment?
In my opinion,
nothing.
Whatever that's worth.
Yeah.
They really didn't come up with an explanation of what.
Well, they
made
came up
that
with an explanation, but it had nothing to do with the employment. They said her legs were short.
Right. I mean, it's.
So short people have comp claims, but taller people don't have comp claims.
Well, that depends apparently which one is in front of the commission, because tall people seem to be a favored class as well.
I don't know why the song Short People kind of goes through my mind right now.
if page 149 is. Of the appendix is where the full commission's findings of fact and rulings of law in the injury by accident.
Well, at 152, the commission says the claimant stated that her legs were shorter than other employees, and as she sat on the wall, she fell backwards. She identified a cause for her imbalance and her fall. Period.
Except she didn't say she knew why she fell. I mean, that.
I guess that's a good point. Even if her short stature was a cause of the fall, she never really said that.
No, she did not, sir. That's true. And it's my recollection, and I don't believe I'm wrong in this, is this isn't the first time she sat on that wall.
Can I switch gears briefly to the first question I asked you about Narrows and Best? I wondered why, and still wonder why, you didn't identify the second point, which is the 30-day rule. I know it's a... The comp cases are sometimes difficult to, the commission's cases are sometimes difficult to reconcile. Some of ours might be. But as I read this record, the only explanation she gave was embarrassment. I guess that does present a legal question. Is embarrassment a good cause for not properly identifying with the employer an accident that occurred within 30 days of the accident?
Well, the commission has actually addressed an embarrassment issue in our brief, starting on the bottom of page 10 and carrying over the case of Alter versus the VSE Corporation found embarrassment about the accident and fear of losing employment as an inadequate excuse for not advising the employer of the accident. And that's exactly what Ms. McDonald did. She fell off her wall, and then she popped back up because she didn't want anyone to have seen this, as she described it, cartoonish accident. And so she didn't say anything about it. Then the next thing that happens is she begins having...
If we were to say that an employee doesn't have to give statutorily required notice because they feel embarrassed about it, I mean, we would essentially, as I am thinking this through, be watering down the requirement to almost nothing, because I would think that for the average person, myself included, it'd be a little embarrassing to admit that I'm short and I fell over backwards and I was sitting down. I wouldn't want to admit to that. Isn't that the narrower point than the actual risk test, which, as you've discovered in the case law, is sometimes very difficult to nail down?
Well, if the court thinks that that is the shortest and narrowest, who am I to stand in its way?
But you would have to overcome the code section 65.2600D requirement that an employee to give written notice of an injury by accident within 30 days of the accident unless reasonable excuse is made to the satisfaction of the commission for not giving such notice, and the commission is satisfied that the employer has not been prejudiced thereby. So assuming that that is a relevant standard for assessing this circumstance, maybe that could be as a justification for the commission making the determination that it made.
Well, the interesting thing was that the deputy commissioner held that the reason that she was forgiven by being untimely in giving notice of her injury was because it was so trivial. And the full commission, I don't think they explicitly say they don't agree with trivial, but they go into instead Ms. McDonald's fear of heart attack.
Yeah, they went into prejudice also. There's no prejudice. There was a suggestion that there's no prejudice to the employer.
But of course, she's got to then prove prejudice, that there's no prejudice. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you fail to timely prove, then burden shifts to the claimant to make a showing that there was no prejudice. And so I actually, to split my position, I think these are almost equally discrete, obvious cases or obvious issues. And I believe that either of them, or both of them, should support a reversal of the commission's finding, if the court doesn't have any other questions.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Pretty. We'll greet you and then take up the Freddie Suarez versus Commonwealth matter.